Okay, so we're continuing with our preparations for Shabbos. And when last week, just at the end of the class, we got into the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neros, lighting the Shabbos candles. And last week we gave some of the hashkafa behind lighting the candles, and we got into when to light the candles. Still got a lot more to go. And there's one other hashkafa issue regarding the lighting the candles that I want to talk about. And besides lighting the candles for covered Shabbos, for the honor of Shabbos, besides that the candles let us know that Shabbos is a day of the soul, there's another reason the rabbis give us for this. But before I get to the reason, I want to emphasize how important this reason is by digressing for about 10 minutes. We're going to have a digression. And after the digression, we'll bring it back to the point. You'll see how powerful this is. So the Gemara tells us that regarding the mitzvah of the four cups on the Seder night, and also regarding the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, which both of those mitzvahs are only rabbinic mitzvahs. They're not biblical mitzvahs. The halacha is that you have to, even if you're very poor, you have to sell the shirt off your back or hire yourself out as a worker. You have to find a way to have the money to be able to buy the four cups of wine and to buy Hanukkah candles, which is not so by any other mitzvah. If by any other mitzvah you are impoverished, you're not obliged. You're not obliged to the mitzvah. That's all. So the question is why? And the Gemara says, because there's a concept called pirsumei nisa, publicizing a miracle. So the question is, why is that such an important thing? So the answer is, based on a teaching in the Gemara, tells us there's four categories of sins that Jews can do, each one requiring a more difficult pathway of teshuvah. So very quickly, that if one transgresses by not performing a positive mitzvah, that's the least bad thing. You just didn't do a mitzvah that you're supposed to do. So if you do sincere tshuva, then that can take care of business. However, if you perform an act that transgresses, you do an action that you're not supposed to do, and you transgress with an action, then teshuva is not enough. You have to go through the process of Yom Kippur to get atonement for that. What if you do a sin negatively that's not just a sin, but it comes with a punishment of kares or something of the like, which is a much worse type of a sin? Then teshuva is not enough. Yom Kippur is not enough. You have to suffer. God brings suffering to bring your atonement. The fourth and worst crime is what you do if what you do causes a chilul Hashem, causes a desecration of Hashem's name. That could happen in all different forms. A very good chilul Hashem is a person who is very observably orthodox, and they double park in front of somebody who can't get out because you've double parked in front of him. And then you come running in 3 minutes later and the person's waiting to get out, and they see you with your kippah or your shaitel on. And they see that Orthodox Jews don't care about manners. That would be a classic example of chilul Hashem, which would carry a punishment worse than eating treif. Okay, that's an example. There's all kinds of chilul Hashem you could do, but that would be a good example of chilul Hashem. It's a public disgrace of God. So that already, that it's not enough to do tshuva, it's not enough Yom Kippur, even suffering's not enough. You got to die. Now, there are ways to get around that, but that's not the main point. I'm just trying to say how terrible a chilul Hashem is. And Chil Hashem really means, the definition of Chil Hashem from the word Chalal, which means a vacuum. Which means a person, when a Jew behaves in a way that when people observe his behavior, he's behaving as if there's no God. Our job as Jews, we're emissaries of God. We're ambassadors of God. And when a person sees a Jew, they should see God, the impact of God upon the actions of that person, and should be overwhelmed by our divine behavior. That's what we're supposed to do every day. When we behave in a way, when a person says, I don't see any divinity with this person, he's behaving as if there is no God. So that is the worst thing you could do, because our whole job is to bring the honor of Hashem into the world. So that's why Chilul Hashem is the worst avera. Okay, fine. Now, what happens once in a while? God decides to do a miracle. For whatever reason, he feels a miracle is appropriate, such as this week's Parsha, the 10 plagues taking the Jews out of Egypt. That was a great miracle. And God does these miracles so that the world will wake up that there is a God in this world. So that creates a great Kiddush Hashem, that Hashem himself manufactures, that the world says, wow, there's a God in this world. Okay. So now it comes out, what if a Jew would do a Kiddush Hashem? Well, just as a Chilul Hashem is the worst thing a Jew could do, then the best thing a Jew could do is a Kiddush Hashem, is to sanctify God's name. When you do a behavior that people say, wow, only a person who has God so close to them would ever do such a thing. Okay, fine. So that's how important Kiddush Hashem is. So now let's think about this. So when you light Hanukkah candles out in the street, so what are you doing? You are publicizing a historic event that was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So when you light Hanukkah candles, you are doing a Kiddush Hashem. Because the non-Jew is going to wonder, what are you doing? And you're going to explain to them. When we have 4 cups of wine on the Seder night, we are publicizing that fact that Hashem took us out of Egypt 3,300 years ago. This is what the Gemara means. It's called Pirsumei Nisa. You're publicizing the miracle, which is an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, you have to even go to extreme measures to make sure you can perform that mitzvah. Because it is Kiddush Hashem, which is so important. If a person doesn't put on a talis, it's not necessarily a Kiddush Hashem. It depends where, what, all these things. But these are clearly Kiddush Hashem, so you have to do them. Okay, I'm just setting you up now. This is just a setup now. But we're trying to show how important this is. Okay, why? Because it's bringing Kiddush Hashem into the world. That's amazing. Now the Gemara asks the following question. What if a person is very poor and he only has money either to light the Hanukkah candles or the Shabbos candles? You're only going to light one. You can't light them both. Which one do you light? The answer is you light the Shabbos candles. If you only have enough money for 4 cups of wine and yontif for Shabbos candles, what do you buy? Shabbos candles. And you don't drink the 4 cups of wine. Wow. Well, we just went and built up these two mitzvahs of lighting candles for Hanukkah and making 4 cups of wine. That's such a big thing. Why is it that lighting the Shabbos candles takes priority? So what's the famous answer to the Gemara? Because one of the reasons why we light the Shabbos candles is for Shalom Bayis. It brings peace into the home. And the Gemara explains, how does it bring Shalom Bayis? So the commentaries explain the Gemara, that if a person, now you got to remember, in the days of the Talmud, there was no such thing as electricity. So when it got dark, it was pitch dark everywhere. So you imagine Friday night, like any other night of the week, it would be pitch dark. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to have a seudah on Sham. You're supposed to have a meal. Family's supposed to be together. So what do you do? Now, otherwise, if you're not Jewish, well, you just, guess you ate supper before it got dark and then went to bed when it got dark. but or you did something else. So therefore, we're told light candles before the Shabbos. So the Gemara said, commonly say, a place where there is no light, there is no shalom, because what happens? People will bump into things. I'm sure you've experienced once in your life when you stubbed your toe against a bed frame post and you're hopping on one foot because it's stinging you. So if it's dark, people you bang into things and all these other types of things. And that's why you light the candles. So the question is, like, exactly why is that so important? So or what is the point they're trying to make over here? Well, after all, the fact that it's dark in the house doesn't necessarily mean there's not going to be shalom bayis, but we're saying it's a can be a causal factor to wreck the shalom bayis. You know, when do you have the most shalom bayis problems between a husband and wife? When there's certain pressure in the house, certain stress in the house. On a normal day when everything's going well with each spouse, even if that one is asking for something that's a little bit difficult, you know, it's generally a calm atmosphere and you agree or you politely disagree. But you know, when you're really stressed out and you have a deadline, and then your spouse, one spouse is nudging the other spouse about something, then one's patience is kind of thin, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's where the problems happen. So therefore, we don't want to create a situation where is a situation that's ready to explode. So we try to go back a few steps to ensure that this isn't going to happen. So therefore, if you walk into the house and it's brightly lit, so one of the major factors that could cause stress has been removed. And therefore, no one's going to trip over anything. No one's not going to see anything. You know, if it's dark, and imagine, you know, the person's serving the soup, and since it's dark, you spill the soup right over the person's suit, and it gets them upset and all these things. You know, you try it once. Try having to have a meal in the total dark and see how it goes. Just see how you're totally dark. So the darkness itself isn't the shalom bayis problem, but it's going to lead to shalom bayis. Okay? Because it causes stress. And stress is what breaks down the shalom bayis. So, therefore, and the rabbis say, shalom bayis is more important than Kiddush Hashem, which is the biggest mitzvah that you could even do. So this is now putting this mitzvah in a really good perspective. That the fact when you light the Shabbos candles Friday night, the real deal behind that, besides what we mentioned last week, when you're lighting the candles, you're remembering that you're a soul. And Shabbos is a day of the soul. And you're supposed to gravitate in soulful areas. We're now saying the next point is, if you'd like to behave like a soul and be spiritual and all that kind of stuff, well, then obviously you got to be well aware of Hashem's presence during the entire Shabbos, and especially during the meal that you're about to have. Okay, if it's nice and dark and you're all stressed out, there can be strife in the family. Well, that's much worse than, that is worse than really a Chilul Hashem. So this is what we're trying to bring out over here. Many people feel the midst of Kiddush Hashem when I do something publicly, and in public, I've done something, and it says, wow, the Jewish people are so nice, and you returned a lost object to a secular Jew, and they go, wow, the Torah is amazing, and you've done a public display of pronouncing God, which is all good and well. But we have to remember that Kiddush Hashem starts in the home, does not start in the street. And people who do not do Kiddush Hashem in their homes, then they're trying to fool people in the streets. The biggest Kiddush Hashem is when nobody's going to give you applause. And that's where Rav Dessler makes a point of mentioning. When the Rambam gives the prima facie example of Kiddush Hashem, what story in the Torah does he pick? He does not pick the Jews getting the Torah at Har Sinai or whatever. He picks the story when Yosef refused the seductions of the wife of Potiphar. And he ran out, Nobody saw what happened there. And as a matter of fact, they got him thrown in jail because he was so moral. And Rama says, that is the example of Kiddush Hashem. So Rav Dessler is saying, that's important to learn. That the kid, you start Kiddush Hashem in the home, and then it can move on into the public sector. So therefore, what we're saying is that laying the candles, which will bring, which makes it that there will be no breakdown in Shalom Bayis, that's what it's about, that there isn't even the potential of a problem of Shalom Bayis. That's so much more important than lighting Hanukkah candles, which is a clear Kiddush Hashem. So it's clear that when there is Shalom Bayis during your Shabbos meal, that is a Kiddush Hashem. And that's how you want to start your Shabbos. So when you're lighting the candles, okay, and you're understanding, you're like, one candle is for me, one candle is for my husband. And my husband has a big, great, a different nature than me. And I have a different nature than him. And now we're going to serve the meal. And it can be all kinds of stressors that come at a meal. When you have little children who are running around making noise, you have guests. There's all these little things where, especially when there's company and lots of things going on, the differences between a husband and wife could be, what do you call, heightened, you know, like just deciding where the guest's going to sit, you know. So a wife could have one idea where the guest should sit. The husband has a different idea where the guest should sit. And all your kids have a third idea where everybody should sit. Or is it only in my house this happens? You know, this kid says, I want to sit over there. This one says, over there. And one parent says, you know, let's be easy on the kids. The other one says, we have to know, show them who's boss. And then the parents can get into a fight as to where the kids should sit. You know, it happens. Or if a kid, whatever, spills grape juice all over your brand new suit or dress, that could cause you to be upset. Remember, we said last week that the most important thing you have to be careful is not to get angry on Shabbos. Person gets angry, that's a big chil Hashem, because if you're angry, that means you don't really believe there's a God in this world, because you felt things have to go the way you want them to go and not any other way. So therefore, what we're saying is that when you light those candles, your thoughts should be on that there should be lots of Shalom Bayis tonight in the house. So even if, let's say, you're expecting, for example, that Minyan should end at Friday night at 6 o'clock, and you're ready to eat, and you're a little bit hungry, and somehow your husband waltzes in at 6:30. Why? Because he has a penchant to schmooze with his friends at the street corner as they're walking home. You know, this happens a lot, often, when I'm walking home. People don't like it, but I do it anyway. I'm walking home. I'm going from far. I'm going a 20-minute walk from home. By the time I'm coming home from my shul, every shul's been done in the Bathurst and Clark area. And when I'm walking, I'm going down my street. I'm getting close home. And I'm seeing a couple guys schmoozing at the corner there, two men schmoozing in the corner. I said, guys, I think you have wives that are waiting for you. That's much more important than that. They don't like that. But I say, what are you doing? You got a mitzvah to go home and make kiddush. Your wives are waiting for you. And they go, you know, and I don't care. And I just go, what are you doing in the street corner? Your wife's waiting for you. And he's waiting with three kids running around, jumping and screaming, and you're waiting. Right? So that's what happened. So now you have to realize, when you're lighting the candles, you have to realize, and if, in case, my husband's going to come late, cause, and you ask him, you know, because, hey, oh, wow, did davening just end? You know, you just, you know, no, it ended a long time ago. It really was a fast chazan. So why are you late? Oh, I was schmoozing my friend. Now you want to kill the guy. You want to kill the guy, you know? So you remember, you lit the candles that you're trying to make Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, you know, it goes past everything else. And therefore, you know, if you don't have Shalom Bayis, you don't have Shabbos. So that is the message of lighting the candles as well. So it's a good thing to think about, because things don't always work out the way we want them. Okay, moving on now.
Because
I didn't touch it enough. It's a very sensitive... let's try it again. Okay, now it's going to give me trouble. Hang on. It's trying to find it. Okay, so now we're going on to the next part of the halachas of lighting the candle. Who does the mitzvah of lighting the candles in the house? So the truth is, the obligation to light the candles applies to every adult member in the household, which means an adult cannot be in a house that doesn't have Shabbos candles lit. But you don't need everybody to light the candles, so therefore, you only need one person to light the candle. And once one person lights the candle, then everybody has fulfilled the mitzvah. But you got to make sure there's one adult who does it. And as we'll see shortly, that mitzvah has now fallen on the woman of the house. However, we don't wait until candle lighting to start dealing with lighting the candles. Shulchan Aruch writes, for example, that, now this was in the olden days, when lighting candles was not so easy. You just lit it, didn't always catch right away, it gave all kinds of troubles. So what they would suggest is that you would first, a little bit before Shabbos, you'd light the candle and then extinguish it. So now it's ready to go, because it takes a little while till it first catches. And then you light it, second, it goes very quickly. So therefore, and to that they said the custom was that the husband would do this. And then when it was time to really light, the wife would light it. Now, although we have much better candles, but still there's an important message that still comes from that. And that is, don't wait to the last minute to decide to light your candles, or better yet, to start preparing to light for your candles. Because Murphy's Law, we calculated, you figure the average woman, let's say the average woman, once she's married, we'll give it a little more, let's say she lives 70 years after she's married, it's a nice liberal amount, and you have at least 60 times a year she lights candles, so you're talking about over 4,000 times you will do this mitzvah. Now, in 4,000 times, the law of averages is that maybe a couple times things are not going to go as you planned. It could happen out of 4,000 times. So let's say it's coming up to 18 minutes before sunset. It's time to light the candles. And you go to your dresser where you have all your candles. And lo and behold, there's no candles. Because you used the last candles last week and you didn't check to make sure there are more. Now what are you going to do? You get frantic. Well, you're going to look. And that takes about 4 or 5 minutes. Then you're going to want to go to your neighbor. And you go next door to the neighbor. Oh, the neighbor went up to the cottage for Shabbos. The door is locked. And now you start running around and you can then come and maybe not light on time. Or let's say you have candles, but you ran out of matches or whatever. So therefore, that's the real point of this halacha, that when the woman is time to light, everything has to be ready so there's nothing that's going to delay her lighting. So in the olden days, it was the wick just isn't so good and she could spend 5 minutes trying to get the wick to catch. And that could take too long. So that's why the husband lit it first, extinguished it, so now it'll be easier for her to light. So therefore, any other manifestation of that nowadays would apply to that. So therefore, the concept is, you want to, and really the husband should help in this area so he has a little bit, if it's possible. Sometimes husbands aren't too available or helpful. But, either the husband can put the candles in earlier or put the oil in, whatever. Those things take time. So, but when the wife is ready to light, it's ready to go. There's going to be no doubt that it's now 18 minutes before you're lighting, and it's going to happen at that time. Okay. Moving on. Now, the custom, although not easy to keep, is for men to wait to go to shul until after candlelight to make sure that his wife does it on time. In other words, we're not casting aspersions on the ability for women to be focused on lighting on time, but there usually are a myriad of activities that surround the house before Shabbos. So you want to have another set of eyes just to make sure that everything is going on time as it should be. And therefore, the husband should wait until the wife lights the candles to know that it has happened. Now, that would be in a perfect world. However, the world isn't so perfect. Why is the world not so perfect? Well, when does mincha usually start in shul for the men? It starts at candlelight. The last time I checked, he can't be in two places at the same time. So if his wife lights 18 minutes before and he makes sure that now he starts walking to shul or driving to shul, he's going to be late for mincha. So then it's not possible for him to be there on time, and therefore he's going to have to leave earlier. The only way you can really do this would mean what?
Light early.
The wife would have to light earlier. Good luck getting that to happen. But that really should happen. That's, you know, just because 18 minutes, we said, that's the latest you should be lighting. There's nothing wrong with lighting earlier than that time. You light 25 minutes before, that's also good. So, and then the husband go to shul. That doesn't work out so well in the summer when a husband goes to an early minyan, because then the wife can't light it so early light. But anyway, you know, that if that can be done, it should be done. Okay, ready? Explained that the mitzvah has devolved to the woman. One of the mystical reasons is because since Chava had the initial fault for causing the husband to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which metaphorically dimmed the light of the world, as it were, a certain degree of light was dimmed by that sin. So she brings a tikkun. Every Jewish woman brings a tikkun by lighting it at the proper time. Don't worry, the men have a tikkun to make also. We're not picking on the women. We'll see which tikkun the men are going to make. The Zohar says that a woman should rejoice over being able to kindle the lights and illuminate the Shabbos. And the Satmar Rav said that a woman should wear all her jewelry when she kindles the Shabbos lights in honor of the mitzvah. As we've already explained last week, how one should be completely dressed for Shabbos before they light candles. I'm not going to repeat that. Okay, now here are some customs. You don't have to do them. This is all minhag. Mitzvahs to light, period. But if you want to do these customs, it's nice. If you have some ideas about this, nice. It's a custom, after, even though you're all dressed up, is when you're lighting to wear a certain, like a white kerchief or a white apron when kindling the Shabbos candles. And that's based on certain remuzim and hints, because a kerchief in Hebrew is called a tsa'if. A tsa'if. Sadi Aleph Yud Fei is a kerchief, which numerical value of those four letters in it comes out to 250. And 250 is a numerical value of the Hebrew word ner, which is a candle. So therefore, there's a connection over there. Also, the first letters of tsa'if, when you mix them up, they bring out the words Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Parnasa. The Jewish people need Parnasa. And we know the candle lighting, bringing in the Shabbos. Shabbos is a big school for Parnasa. So it's all to help a woman remember, you know, what exactly is going on over here. And the apron is because we know the Kohen Gadol wore an apron when he did his avod in the Beis Hamikdash. And a woman in a house is like the Kohen Gadol of the house. You have to remember, again, many people, unfortunately, there are secular people who have, you know, viewed the role of a housewife in a very diminished way, which is a very unfortunate. And the reason why it's been diminished, because it doesn't seem like, to their eyes, that they're doing anything that important. Because certainly, not, you know, that can't compare to a woman being in a corporate office arranging multi-million dollar deals. That is for sure, in their eyes, much more important than taking care of children and making sure the house is running properly. So to debase that idea, we have to take a look at, well, who are the most honored people in the Jewish people historically? Was the Kohen Gadol. Now you figure out, what did the Kohen Gadol do? Well, he really, and to a great extent, he ran a big slaughterhouse. The Beis HaMikdash was a very, very physical place. And if you do any analysis of the animal offerings that were brought in the temple, it was a real messy place. I don't know if you've ever seen the slaughtering of an animal. If you haven't, go to YouTube and just look at slaughtering of an animal. Okay? And, you know, you take a bull. Okay, it was a big animal, or even a sheep, and you have to slit its throat, and all the blood comes pouring out, and you have to collect the blood, and then you have to sprinkle it on the altar. You have to skin the animal. You got to divide up the animal into pieces, and those pieces have to be brought on the altar. And then, after all that's done, some of the animal you can eat. It was a real slaughterhouse. Imagine at Erev Pesach, when there were hundreds of thousands of Jews bringing up a sheep, and how that was going on over there. And it was, if you've ever been to a regular slaughterhouse, it stinks like terrible. But the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem did miracles, it wouldn't smell. This is what I don't think you want to raise your boys to grow up to be ritual slaughterers necessarily. You know, there might be easier jobs, a little more high class. Nothing wrong with a shaykhid, but it's a dirty job. So people will think, you know, it's not important. Well, you should know that the holiest Jew, the Kohen Gadol, well, that's what he took his time doing. He would bring offerings, all kinds of offerings, and very busy with it. He did a lot of other things. The Kohanim, you know, who would clean off the ashes from the altar? Lots of dirty, filthy ashes was a Kohen. He did that. Only special people got to do that job. Because Judaism believes that if we could take the physical world and elevate it in service of God, that's about the greatest thing you could do. So that was done in the temple. So what in the world now approximates that more than anything where else? Your home. Your home is like a little temple. It's like a little temple. And there is a lot of physical labor that has to be done. Right? So it's always a good thing to remember that when a woman's in the house and she's, you know, changed the third load of laundry and changed the seventh diaper of the kid that day and all these things, and the Yetzer Hara could lead one to believe that you aren't doing anything special, you should just know, that's why you're wearing that apron when you're lighting the candles, to know I'm the Kohen Gadol of this house. And if you really know, the future of the Jewish people is not in the corporate world, it's not even in the yeshivas, it's in the house. And if the house has a good Kohen Gadol, it's going to work properly. So that's why, when you're lighting Friday night, this little idea of putting on the apron is just to remember, a Kohen Gadol wore an apron. You don't have to wear the apron anymore. Just when you light. At least when you're lighting, it's by yourself, right? So you just put it on. You have a special Shabbos apron on top of your wedding clothes that you're wearing, as we said. And you have this apron. I'm a Kohen Gadol. And it's good. It really is good for self-esteem, especially on a Shabbos. So it's customary. If you don't, it's not a terrible thing at all. It's also a mitzvah to give tzedakah with joy before lighting the candles. And usually everyone has their own pushka over there. And for mystical reasons, to give 3 small coins. I don't want to get into the mystical reason. But the reason why you give tzedakah before Shabbos, specifically before you light the candles, is a very simple answer. Because what's going to happen on Shabbos? Hashem is going to shower us with gifts. Spiritual blessings are going to come to us. God is going to, as it were, do a kindness with us, let us connect to our souls, and that is probably the biggest act of tzedakah that God can do for us. So for one to be deserving and being the recipient of God's tzedakah, we should emulate the Creator and give tzedakah. So by giving tzedakah, that makes you worthy for getting the tzedakah. Okay, you got to make sure to light the candles in the right place. When you're lighting, in other words, don't light the candles in one place, having in mind you're going to move it to another place. And if you plan on wanting the candles in another place, wherever you plan on it sitting the whole Shabbos, that's where you should light it. And you should be careful to make sure there's enough lighting throughout the house. In other words, it's not the mitzvah of lighting candles, although it's done by lighting the candles. It's not limited to lighting the candles, which means you have to ensure there's proper illumination in every room of the house that requires illumination. That's part of the mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. And that obviously is taken care of beforehand, having all your whatever Shabbos lights or all that ready to go. That's part of your mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. Okay, there's always a little interesting point over here, number 5. A husband should gently remind his wife to light before Shabbos. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos. And not to say it in a way that could cause her to be sad, you know, by, you know, ordering her to light the candles. Now, if for any reason the wife cannot light the Shabbos lights, then the husband should and must light. He can't just think, well, it's my wife's mitzvah, and if she does it, yes. If she doesn't, it's not fine. He has to light it that way. So, you know, I always tell men that if you see, and sometimes, you know, women are usually pretty good at it, but sometimes you have, you know, sometimes a woman, she can get into a lot of things and could tend to forget and, you know, not, you know, get distracted. Some women. So a husband has to just gently remind the wife. But sometimes you could see it's like getting like, it's already past 18 minutes. It's getting like 4 or 5 minutes till. Then the husband has to, you shouldn't yell and scream, just very gently. I say, guys, just say, dear, would you want me to light the candles for you? I say, just, you know, I see your bill. Would you like me to light it? No, I'm going to, and then boom. Then all of a sudden, in record time, they've lit the candles. So you have to be careful. You know, you have stories where husbands lit without telling their wives. Ooh, boy, that's the end of the shalom bias right over there. So it's very important. So, but it's important that they light it too. Now, should a husband, yes, light the candles, then the law is that he would make the bracha before lighting, as opposed to the proper way, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay, what do you use for the mitzvah? The Arizal says the optimal item is olive oil. Olive oil. Really, the Gemara says it should be done with olive oil. Because why? Because when we lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, this was olive oil. And all the metaphors that we discussed last week about the soul and the lamp, it works really well with olive oil. That is the preferred way to do the mitzvah. In the olden days, it could have been very expensive, but nowadays it's not that much more. It's more expensive, but not exorbitant. And remember, whatever you spend on Shabbos, Hashem pays you back anyway. So why wouldn't you want to do it? Yeah, it's a little bit more time than candles are real easy. Arizal says at least two of the Shabbos candles should have olive oil. Now, of course, certainly candles are acceptable. And there's all other alternatives, wax, paraffin candles. Now, important to know, now here's a good situation. What are you going to do if you weren't well planned in advance, and it's 18 minutes for a time, you go over to the cupboard and there are no candles there, and you tried one neighbor and it's not home, you can't get a candle. Now what do you do? So there is one solution which you can do under that circumstance, and you may turn on electric lights in the house, and you will fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros for Shabbos, and you can even make a bracha on that as a last resort. Okay? So if that ever... Yeah? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, that's exactly. But I'm saying, but people just think, here's the problem, because usually that's when it's the case. People don't extrapolate. So, because it could happen. It's happened, what if there's no candles? She's just sitting around there just looking like, what am I going to do? Or what if there's no match? You got candles, but no match. And by the time you're going to find it, it's going to get really close to Shabbos. So you can, as long as it's not a fluorescent light, but any other type of light, LED, whatever, all those lights are fine. And you can use that if as a last resort. And we'll see, we'll talk about that later. That's, you can use that for hospitals, hotels, we will get to that. But just to know that, and we'll see that it's going to have an impact, again, shortly, if you're lighting in a room that has electric candles, we'll talk about that as well. It's also, don't have to, but it's better for a woman, now what are you going to light with? So it's more commendable to make it a more honorable type of lighting, to use a wax candle to light the candles instead of a match, although matches are acceptable, but it doesn't look as honorable. As well, the candles should ideally be lit at least until the beginning of the meal, or preferably throughout the meal. So that means you have to have oil or candles that are going to last a good, depending on how long your meals are. Ideally, if you're going to have a 3-4 hour meal, those candles got to light about 5 hours. And, you know, I always wonder why people don't do this, but, you know, you got these really long, skinny, fancy cows. I don't know why people don't use that. It's so honorable. I mean, we got the regular standard box candles, which are fine, but it would, you know, it's really a nice, it's thing. Long meals, ideally you'd like them lit as long as possible, but certainly the regular candles are fine, or you put enough oil that it can last a long time. And certainly, if you don't have any other form of illumination besides the candles or the oil, certainly it should be lasting until after the meal. Okay, now we get to the how to the mitzvah, although, you know, since there's only women at the table here, I hope I'm not, you don't feel like, it's not like I don't think you don't know how to do it, but sometimes you just review, you might come up with a point or two that we may not remember. Okay, so here's the issue. This mitzvah is a little bit of a tricky mitzvah because the general rule is that you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. That's the general rule. If you're going to shake a lulav and esrog, you make the bracha and then you shake the lulav and esrog. When you're separating challah, you first make the bracha, then you separate the challah. That's the way you're supposed to do it. So the problem is over here. So really, if you're going with that rule, first you make a bracha of laying the candles, and then you light the candles. Well, that's a bit of a problem. Why? Because once you make the bracha, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, you really have, so to speak, accepted the Shabbos. And once you've accepted the Shabbos, then how could you light the candles if you've accepted the Shabbos? So that is a bit of a problem. So how are we going to deal with that? So therefore, the idea is we have to kind of find a way to circumvent that. So what you do is you'll have to light the candles, but you don't benefit from the light of the candles. And therefore, once you light the candles, there's different customs, but, you know, usually you put your hands in front of the candles and then you wave your hands through and then you close your eye, you cover your eyes. And as your eyes are covered, so now you're not really benefiting from the candles at all, then you make the bracha, and then when you remove your hands, then, boom, now you see the lights. So that's why we do all that, not to make you crazy, but so that you have really made the bracha prior, because the mitzvah of the lighting is so you'll benefit from the light. So if you have not yet benefited from the light, then the bracha is still okay to be made. Now, that's the preferred way to do it, and then you make the bracha while your eyes are covered. Now, at that point, for the woman, you have accepted Shabbos. And now you cannot do any halachically prohibited work on Shabbos. Now, it's interesting, that's in the Ashkenazic world. The Sephardim world have two different opinions how to do this. In the Sephardim world, many poskim say that women should say the bracha before the lighting. They maintain you make the bracha before the mitzvah and you have not accepted the Shabbos when you make the bracha. Other Sephardim say that the practice is to do it the way the Ashkenazim do it and you make the bracha the way the Ashkenazim do it. So, therefore, there's different customs in the Sephardic world, but the Ashkenazim custom is straightforward. There's also, here becomes a problem. Let's say you're lighting in a room that already has illumination. Let's say you're lighting your candles in the dining room, and the dining room has pot lights or chandeliers, whatever. So now if you think about it, this is a big discussion in the rabbis. Well, what are you gaining by lighting these candles? You've got a candelabra that's worth, you know, 100 candles of illumination. And then you got your little itty-bitty two candles. Like, what are you accomplishing? And many feel that you're really making a bracha in vain because you're not doing anything. You're not making it lit up. So therefore, to avoid that issue, You should turn off the electric lights before you're going to light the Shabbos candles. And there's two ways to do that. Okay, and it could be if the husband's still home or others are home, you can involve others in this practice. But basically what you want to do is you'd like the room to be dark when the wife woman is lighting. Now, and as you're lighting, so if there's nobody else in the room, that's kind of hard to do all that. So therefore, they say, okay, just turn on now. Make sure the lights are off when you're about to light the candles. Now you're turning on the electric lights, and for the sake of Shabbos, and now she's lighting the regular candles, and now she's going to say the bracha. So she's creating all that illumination at the same time. Now, that is the only way you can do it if you're alone in the room there. But if you got a kid in the room or your husband's still in the house, well, then really it would be even better that you turn off the lights, she lights the candles, and while she's lighting the candles, then the other person puts on the lights, you see? So it's mamish happening almost at the same time, and then she makes the bracha on it, so now her bracha is now on all the lights that are lit in the house. Okay, maybe that's something new. Maybe you didn't know that. Okay, not to say that if you're doing it the other way, it's wrong, but there's a difference of opinion. So the more proper way would be to do it like that way. Okay, also, you got to make sure you're lighting it properly. What does it mean? When you light the candles, when you go from one candle, don't go to the next candle till the first one is really already standing and high and good. Because sometimes you light a candle and it decides not to light. Yeah, but if you're just going boom, 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 similar thing, and you're not even paying attention, you may uncover your eyes and see one candle went out. So therefore, you got to be slow and make sure that it's caught and it's rising and everything, and then you're fine with that. Okay, there's different opinions what to do with the match or the candle you use for kindling lights. There's different opinions based on if you feel that the mitzvah is happening when you make the bracha or before, when you light the candles, whatever. Some women put out the fire, others don't. Let's say, and there's different opinions on that. I mean, some will just, what do you do? Well, so if you've got like a lighter, some people have these fancy long things, and you click the thing and it makes a fire. Well, then it's easy, just move your finger and fire goes out. Some of you use matches, they just leave the match on the table under some aluminum or whatever, and it just goes out by itself. Some women, if they use a candle, they just keep another candle lit because they don't want to put up. But there's different customs, and if you put it out, it's also fine. After you light the candles, women say the special prayer, Zakeni, that whole prayer, and the prayer is focused on that her husband and her children should become Torah scholars or marry Torah scholars. The Gemara says, in the merit of lighting Shabbos candles, you'll have children who are Torah scholars or who will marry Torah scholars, because that's what light is. Light is like the menorah. The menorah represents the oral law, and therefore that's what light is all about. It's Torah. So that's the greatest thing a woman can have. Now, obviously, if you don't have children, and you want to have children if you're lighting candles, that's obviously a skula for that, because if it's a skula that have sons or daughters who marry Torah scholars, that means you have to have kids. So that would be a very advantageous mitzvah. So generally speaking, once you light the candles, you're done. So now, but what if you're pressed for time and you have certain special circumstances where the woman does not want to accept the Shabbos that early? Although you're supposed to be lighting it 18 minutes before, and now that's Shabbos. For whatever reason, a woman's working, she's getting home late, she's stressed, wants to get everything done, unexpected things happen, children decide to make a mess that you already cleaned up, or one kid fell down the stairs and needs some TLC and you can't light the... It just happens, right? But let's say you're ready to light the candles and your kid's screaming and yelling and who knows what's going on, you may have to do something for them. Yeah, mommy, I forgot to whatever, and you're going to have to do a malacha on Shabbos for them, whatever. So under certain circumstances, you can light the candles and not accept Shabbos. Now, that's not to be done initially. Like, sometimes, you know, there are certain people who feel they just do that every week, which is really poor practice. They go, well, I can always light, and then I can do it. Because you could forget, and you can forget and go and do your malacha. Well, the woman says, well, I didn't take a chance to take a shower, so let me light now and I'll go and take a shower. Really is not an optimal thing to do, because when you're up in the shower and then you're doing this and putting on makeup, you know, who knows if you haven't gone past sunset and now you're doing real malacha. So it's not a good practice, but there are certain circumstances once in a while where it's necessary. You know, let's say you have to go to the mikvah on Friday night and the mikvah is not particularly close. Now, sometimes, it's like 45 minutes to walk to the mikveh. 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back. Not all ladies are so fit to be walking an hour and a half Friday night. So they'd rather drive to the mikveh, right? But you can't drive to the mikveh too early, right? So, but they can't drive to the mikveh, not light candles. So they don't light candles, they want to drive to the mikveh. Okay, what if, for example, you're a guest somewhere and the host is a half an hour away? And that's, some people are not good walkers. They can't walk so many times back and forth. So you're going to want to go to the other person. So you may want to drive the car to someone's house. What if you want to daven mincha afterwards? Now, you have a problem. If you light the candles and it's Shabbos, you can't daven mincha anymore because it's not Friday anymore. It's Shabbos. So really, if you like to daven mincha, you daven mincha before you light the candles. That's really what you should do. But you don't always have the time for that. But you really want to daven mincha. So under those circumstances, you make a stipulation, either verbally or mentally, and you're saying, in spite of the fact that I'm lighting the candles, I'm not accepting Shabbos right now. You must have that positive thought, or really you want to call it a negative thought. You don't have to express it, but you have to say, I'm not accepting Shabbos with that, and therefore you can now do malacha until 2 or 3 minutes before sunsets. Again, it's not an optimal practice. But then again, if it's for mincha, what's the worst you can do? It's if you want to drive somewhere, you know, what if you get stuck in the construction? You might be driving on Shabbos. But when you're diving mincha, what's the worst that's going to happen? Your mincha is going to go into Shabbos? That's not bad. So, therefore, you can do that. All right? Now, but when you do that, now we got to reverse it. What does that mean? Then you first make the bracha, and then you light. Because since you're not accepting the Shabbos, so now you're going to reverse it on that. That's if you're doing that, all right? Okay, what else? There's a custom to draw the curtains after kindling the Shabbos lights, because the Shabbos lights, which are bringing in the holiness of Shabbos, is meant for the home, not for the street, as the opposite of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the Persume Nisa outside the house. Candle lighting is the Kiddush Hashem inside the house, and it's meant for the house and not for outside the house. And as well, since these candles carry so much spiritual messages, it's a mitzvah to look at them as much as possible. Now, if for any reason of true negligence, a woman forgets to light the candles, she's penalized by the rabbis, and for the rest of her life must light another candle for the rest of her life. And it's always good to ask a shaila, because sometimes you have to know, was it negligence? Was it more an accident? Etc., etc. Clearly, I remember it was one year, it was like 3 Shabbos in a row, the kids had to go to Emerge right before Shabbos. And, one time me and my wife had to go to Emerge. So we weren't home for Shabbos. She didn't light candles. Okay, that's beyond your control. So that's not an issue. But if you were just, taking care of things and setting the table and you just forgot about the Shabbos. Now that happens, that really, when that could happen a lot, is in the summer Shabboses. That's when it can happen. For some reason, it happens more than in the winter Shabbos. You know, the winter, you know you don't have a lot of time, so you're nervous about it the whole time. Summer, you got all the time in the world. The husband's left way before Shabbos. And he comes home way before the sun sets. And then it's more likely, you kind of feel Shabbos when it's getting dark, you know. But when it's bright sunlight, the wife's caught by surprise. So I have a rule of thumb. And the husband making Kiddush way before the sun's gone down. So I have a practice. I always, no matter what, I just say, has everybody lit candles? Before I make Kiddush. Because she could still light, because it's really not Shabbos. You'd be surprised. You get surprised if you have like guests or whatever. Sometimes people do forget. So, and if you really forget, you would have to light all that. Now, there are some exceptions with yontif where you should. Whenever you forget, it's always good to call a rabbi because he might be able to pull out a leniency and you don't have to light extra. Because of this, I will just make a suggestion, just of common sense. Sometimes we like to chat and be friendly, And, you know, some of the things, let's say women talk to women about, you know, let's say a woman comes into the house, a guest before the husband's come home, and they're looking and they want to make small talk, and they're admiring the menorah, the candelabra that you have. And they'll start talking about, oh, I see you light 2, I see you light 7. That could be part of the mundane, nice, friendly chit-chat. I would suggest that not to talk about that, and because I firsthand saw a very embarrassing situation once. You know, okay, so there's different customs. The minimum custom is to light 2 candles, fine. There's other customs, you light 1 candle for every child that's born in the family. So this is like, if you're not thinking, and you can just say, well, oh, I see you have 6 candles lit. That's interesting. You have 4 kids? No, I have 3. So then he wants to why lighting 6? So then she has to sheepishly say, oh, I forgot once. Which really, it's like, really, a woman doesn't want, it's not the kind of thing you want to publicize, that you forgot, you penalize this and that. But if the person's asking questions, it puts you on. So therefore, I always, and I saw that once happen. Somebody was probing, well, I kind of saw that the woman of the house was trying to avoid this discussion, and the other person was probing. And so then why, she's getting nervous, and so, oh, I forgot one. And she was felt like, you know, like melting through the floor. So therefore, don't talk about the amount of candles people are lighting, because it could bring out someone to get embarrassed. That's all I'm saying. And just, because that was a nice laughter you have there. And just leave it at that. But start asking why and how much, it can cause problems. Okay. You got another 3-4 minutes? We can finish the topic? Yeah? Okay. Now, what if you're away from home? If a person, a family, eats the Friday night meal at a friend's house, they do not fulfill their obligation of Neiro Shabbos with their hosts. If you're sleeping in your house, if you're going to sleep in your house, you do not fulfill the lighting by them lighting for you. You have to light your own candles in your house. Okay, similarly, children who eat a Friday night meal at a friend's house but are going to come to sleep, they'll obviously have their mitzvah fulfilled by the parents who are lighting in their house. So therefore, the preferred thing to do is that if you're a guest at someone's house, you should light in your own home to fulfill your primary obligation. Before you go to the friend, you light in your house, you light the candles, and then you go to the friend's house. But here becomes the problem. Problem is, the lights that you light are meant for you to benefit from the lights. If you light the candles and run out the door and go to the guest and come home 5 hours later and the candles are out, you have not benefited from the candles, and it perhaps can be a wasted blessing. So you have to really ensure a way that you're going to benefit from the candles. So one way is have very long candles to make sure that when you're home the lights are still on. Or there's many ways to get around this. Or, once you light the candles, sit next to the candles for like 5 minutes and go say some Tehillim or say your prayer to the light of the candle so you've benefited from it right away. Or really, I haven't put it down there, but clearly if you did what I said before, if at the same time you're lighting the candles, you're putting on the chandelier lights, so that's part of your Neir Shabbos. So when you come home, the chandelier lights are on, and even if the candles went off, you still have done it properly. However, there are some people who are very concerned about leaving candles lit in a house when they're not in the house. And we can't deny people who have such fears, even though it's not usually going to happen. You're going to make a fire, but they want them in the house, so they get... So then, therefore, if lighting in the house for whatever reason is not an option, then the woman of the guest woman could light in the host's home, obviously getting to their house well before the sun sets, and lighting there even with a bracha, because you're contributing by even extra lights. I'm not saying that's the optimal way, but that is acceptable as well. But then again, that means you're going to be at your host's home for a long time. But optimally is you want to light at home. Now, if the family are guests away from home for Shabbos completely, you're sleeping over, so you technically fulfill your mitzvah with the lighting that the people of the house are lighting. And you don't have to light anything, but the custom is that all married women will also light candles with their hostess as well. And generally speaking, even though you may light 7, 8, 9, 11 candles at home, usually two candles as you're a guest is fine. Finally, yes, if you're staying in a hotel or a hospital for Shabbos, okay, which is very interesting. So usually you can't light candles in a hospital. They're not going to let you light candles in a hospital. So the way out is you light an incandescent bulb with a bracha in your private room. And that can be done. The wife can do this. Now, again, you may not want to light on the whole Shabbos in your room. Same thing with a hotel room we'll talk about. So therefore, no problem, light a light in either a closet that has a light or the bathroom. Nothing wrong with that. You light the bathroom light and then get out of the bathroom and then make the bracha on the lighting, not the other way around. You don't want to make the bracha in the bathroom, but you could do that. Okay? That is when, let's say, a wife gives birth to a baby and she's in the house hospital for Shabbos, so she could do that. However, if there are people lighting in the house already, then she could put the lights on, but should not make a bracha because the family is already covering it at home. Now, the issue with a hotel is similar because hotels won't let you light candles, so you'll light the light in the bathroom because that's a door you can close. If you light a light in your normal room, the light's going to keep you up the whole Shabbos. Here's the interesting thing I've noticed. What about when you go for these like big Shabbatons in a hotel? Right? So the shuls have a big Shabbaton, or you're going to a Jewish convention, or going for a Pesach hotel. So it really, it's I don't know why people don't do it correctly. They usually, they designate a whole area to light. Yeah, but that area is not anywhere where anyone's doing anything on Shabbos. And you totally are not benefiting. I mean, really, what you should do is you should light your candles on the table you're going to be eating. But they don't like to do that because it causes all kinds of problems. Clean up afterwards, muktzah, this and that. It complicates things. So they say, well, just light it in its whole designated area. It's really not so simple to do that because you really are not benefiting from those lights. You're not. I mean, there's 500 candles lit over there. It's a well-lit area. You're really not getting anything out of it. It's not, I don't feel that's a good practice unless you find some way to make sure there's no lights at all in that room where they're lighting the candles and that's the only illumination and you're sitting and that's far from the spirit of the mitzvah. I would recommend more, even under those situations, to put the light on in the bathroom. That is for sure a Shalom Bayis light because you go into the hotel room, it's dark. So, and I would even say you should light it with a bracha. Okay, if you feel but it's not Shabbos if I don't light candles. Okay, so you can light the candles without a bracha. Don't accept Shabbos with it. Then go upstairs and turn on the bathroom light. But this is a very questionable practice. I see in a lot of places they must be lenient in certain areas. But I would suggest more to focus on turning on the light in the hotel room where you're really going to get the Shalom Bayis. That ends the discussion of candlelighting. Any questions, comments? Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to ask about changing your method. Like, once you are using a certain kind of candle and you want to try out olive oil or a different candle.
For sure. Why not?
But isn't there something about if you do it, you can't go backwards? Or if you've done it a certain amount of times, you can't go backwards?
Well, if you're lighting a candle and you're upgrading to olive oil, for sure you can do that. That's not a question. The only question, if you're using olive oil your whole life and then you want to do a candle, then that might be a question where you may have to nullify your vow, as it were. Because now you're stepping down. But certainly to light with the oil. Or you could say, I'm going to start lighting oil, but I'm not doing it as a vow. I'm going to see how it'll go. But if I ever want to go back to a candle, I'll go back to a candle. But it certainly, it is a better hidur mitzvah to light with oil. It's no question about it. And there's no reason why women shouldn't be lighting with olive oil. It's not so hard to find anymore. It's like so easy. You just have to spritz a little oil in. It's not a big deal. Yeah?
If you or the wife is away, she's lighting for the family, but they're still having Shabbos at home. Must they light it?
The wife's away where?
She's away for Shabbos.
And somewhere else.
She's
just
away for
away.
Shabbos. But the family's eating their meal at home.
No, so everyone will light with a, so the family lights at home with a bracha. So the house has to be illuminated. The house, if there's three adult kids, let's say, right? There has to be neiros. Shabbos has to be. And they make a bracha. And now the mother, who's a guesser else, will light with a bracha there. The time you don't make the bracha is when you're using an electric light in a hospital and people are lighting candles at home. But if you're in South Africa lighting, you want to be with your mother and father, you want to light your candles, you can light your candles. And your family at home lights with their candles too. Okay,
thank
good?
You,
okay, next week we get to Kiddush.
Oh, good.